Good morning and a welcome to you all to our service this morning, and a particularly warm welcome if you happen to be visiting with us this morning, and a welcome back of course to Jean Forbes, who's conducting the service for us this morning. There's quite a number of intimations on the bulletin. I just want to draw your attention to two or three. Life Explored series continues this evening at 7:15. Well, the cake and coffee is at 7:15, and the Life Explored itself, the session starts at 7:30 up in St Margaret's Hall. We had about 30 folks along a fortnight ago, but we're happy to have more. So if you'd like to come along and join us for that, we'd be delighted to see you. Looking further ahead to next week, we have our harvest service at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning. And following that, you'll see in the little insert, we're having a soup lunch, and we're with the opportunity to make donations to Mary's Meals, and the information about that is all there. What's not there is that also next week we collect goods for the Murray Food Bank. Some have arrived already this morning in good time, so that's great. There's a poster on the notice board at the back which tells us the items that they're looking for. So if you want to donate items next week, have a look at this. It'll tell you what's suitable to bring, and what we'll do is we'll bring the items and we'll have them down at the front. Just bring them in and place them on the front at the start of the service, and that will be fine. And then next Sunday evening, we've got an evening service, the Songs of Praise, and the idea here is that people choosing a hymn to sing that is a favourite of theirs, and just take a minute or so, a couple of minutes, to explain why they've chosen it and why that hymn is something that is meaningful for them. So we're still looking for a few folks to step up to the plate in terms of choosing a hymn. So if you don't come and see me after the service or speak to Andrew Kirkby, then prepare to be accosted and asked if you're prepared to do it. That, I think, is all that I need to say. There are other notices there, but I'll leave you to read them for yourselves. Thank you.
We begin our praise this morning with Mission Praise 656. The Lord is King, lift up your voice.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed come to honour, praise and glorify your name and lift it high in this place this morning, to recognise you as our sovereign God, higher than our highest thoughts, yet always close by our side, greater than we can ever imagine, yet made known to us in Christ, more powerful than words can ever express, yet having a concern for each and every one of us. Father, as we bow before you humbly with grateful hearts, we remember all the blessings you have showered upon us. Your goodness greater than we can ever comprehend, your love beyond anything we can ever begin to understand, and you, the joy that you give knows no bounds, mercy beyond our deserving, and hope that can never be exhausted, and a peace when we rest in you that passeth all understanding, and a presence that is ever true and constant, touching our lives in innumerable ways, all available to us to live fulfilled and purpose-filled lives. Yet so often we fail to experience your spiritual blessings. When we imagine that our lives are in our hands to shape as we will, that we are in control, and turn our backs in the walk of faith you would have us follow, forgive us the shallowness of our commitment when we fail to show in our lives what we profess with our lips, when we seek the fleeting pleasures the world offers and flirt with things that are spiritually dangerous and lead us onto the path of deception. Father, grant us strength to say no to the things that distract us from you and to embrace with passion those things that would make us more like you. Forgive us our failure to honour your calling, and we pray that you would fill us once more with the joy of knowing you, that we may step forward boldly in faith wherever you may lead. Open our eyes afresh to your splendour, our hearts to your love, our minds to your purpose, and our spirit to your presence. And Father, by your grace, make us what we long to be, so that we may truly bring glory to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For some reason, I thought I was at Bucky North this Sunday, and it wasn't till Wednesday when I met with Isabel that she says, no, you're at Lumbright. So I had made up a PowerPoint for the young ones. So I made it one up, so you're going to get it. It's just a children's one. Maybe the wee man will like it. Well, we all know who that is. I mean, I would be saying to the kids, do you know who that is? We're going from Genesis 39 this morning, but this is Genesis 37 when Joseph gets the coat from his father. And this is the brothers. And I would be asking how many brothers were there. And then we read that they threw him in the pit. They took off the robe and threw him in the pit. And then the brothers go home and tell the father that he's dead. And what I was wanting to put across to the children was that the brothers were jealous, and that jealousy is a bad thing. So here we see someone with a nice icicle and one with an apple, and one's not really happy. Again, we've got somebody with an ice cream cone that looks so much better than the other. And I think we would prefer the big parcel, if we're honest, than the wee one. And it says, when things change, I will be happy. And it says that's false, because when I'm happy, things will change. because only us can change, through the Lord can change, and not always want what we can't get. And just showing that we should love each other, love one another as I have loved you. But jealousy is a bad thing, and I'm sure we're all at times tempted to think that what other people have is better than what we have, or to wish that we had what they had. But it just shows jealousy rots you inside. It really maybe doesn't do it the other person any harm, but it rots you inside. So a jealousy can grow quickly, and it can cause problems in our hearts. A loss of peace and gives turmoil in the mind, which is not the way that God wants us to live. We stand to sing our second hymn, Mission Praise 705. Thy hand, O God, has guided. When we allow God to guide us, we won't be jealous of what, because we are doing what he has for us.
This morning is from the book of Genesis, the first Bible, and it's Genesis 39, and it can be found on page 43 of your Bibles, and it's the continuing story of Joseph when he was in Egypt, entitled Joseph and Potiphar's Wife. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the night time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left the cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We sing again Mission Praise 473. My hope is built on nothing less.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. In country singer Kenny Rogers' greatest hit, he meets up with a gambler who gives him this advice. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There's time enough for counting when the dealing's done. As we consider the chapter set before us this morning and the character of Joseph, we will find ourselves challenged to examine ourselves. Do we know when to walk away? Do we know when to run? Or do we find ourselves lingering at the table of temptation? Temptation is a common experience of the people of God, and we will never escape it as long as we live in a fallen world. But as we find through the witness of Joseph, God has given us everything we need to win the battle every time. As we saw in our PowerPoint of Genesis 37, Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, removed him from the pit, and sold him to a band of Ishmaelites. And they take him to Egypt and sell him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of his guard. As we come to today's passage, we read, Potiphar saw that the hand of God was upon the life of Joseph and realized there was something special about this Hebrew slave. As he watched Joseph's work and he saw the results of his work, Potiphar saw that everything Joseph touched turned to gold. He promoted Joseph and made him overseer of his entire household. Joseph was now in control of everything that happened in Potiphar's home and in his business interest. Potiphar had granted him this position because he recognized that he could trust Joseph to do the right thing. For Joseph was a man of diligence and integrity who did the best job that he could for his master. He served Potiphar like he was serving the Lord. The life he lived proclaimed the glory of his God, and Potiphar saw for himself the influence of God in the life of Joseph. Oh, that we could all reflect that in our lives, that by our lifestyle, others would see the mark of God's favour on us. Here in these verses, we see the faithfulness of God displayed. As Joseph glorified God, God promoted him and used him in a powerful way. If we were to fast forward to Genesis 41, to verses 39, we find that Joseph would eventually become second in command over all of Egypt. We read in the New Testament in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and that he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." A famous evangelist wrote these words, "We all need to be content. We all need to content ourselves where we are on the way to where we are going." So maybe lesson one should be, perhaps we should blossom where we are planted, displaying God's grace in all situations and to all people. And when we do this, serving God with integrity, he will open up new avenues of service for us. It's good doing this series on the narrative lectionary, because there's a danger that these Old Testament stories have become so familiar to us. We forget that in all these there are lessons to be learned, nuggets to be grasped, questions to be asked of ourselves. Are we blooming where we are planted? It would seem, although Joseph had been sold by his brothers, things are going well for him. Here he is managing the affairs of one of the most powerful men in Egypt. Joseph is exactly where God wants him to be, doing exactly what God requires of him. And in verses 2 to 6, it's emphasized over and over again that God had poured a blessing on his life. Now, it's exactly at that point when Joseph would seem to be sitting on top of the world that a new character enters the story. We don't know her name, only that she is the wife of Potiphar. It would seem that Joseph had caught the eye of Mrs. Potiphar, and she asked him to lie with her. But here again we find the integrity of this man. He replies, verses 8 and 9, "With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And even though Mrs. Potiphar was insistent, Joseph continued to refuse her advances. One day she tried to trap him by catching him by the cloak. Cloaks seemed to play a large part in the life of Joseph. But he's out of the house and leaves the cloak behind. Joseph's response to Mrs. Potiphar and her temptations is a response we should all adopt when it comes to dealing with our temptations. As we consider these verses, it becomes obvious that Joseph could have come up with numerous excuses to lie with Mrs. Potiphar. He was a long way from home. No one need ever know. Potiphar need ever know. How many times do we use reasons and excuses for giving in to temptation? Any kind of temptation, temptation to deceive, temptation to lie, temptation to seek self-satisfaction. Regardless of the effect it has on others, or for that, on ourselves. At the time, it seems the answer, but after, there is always consequences. And if it's not from others, it's from our inner self. When we have responded to Satan whispering in our ear, he whispers, "Everyone else is doing it. No one will ever know. You know you deserve it." That's when we need to run. It's not enough to avoid the temptation. We need to get as far away from it as possible. Otherwise, we might, like the gambler, fear that we would linger at the table of temptation. Now, as I said, there will always be temptations, and temptations change over the years, and it's no different for us as Christians. We have and will be tempted, but if we live like Joseph in faithful unity with God, we have the promise that is found in Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Again, we see this truth in the life of Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar had been scorned, and she now seeks revenge. When Joseph runs out, she starts to scream and cry, and the servants come running in to see what's going on. She tells them that Joseph had tried to rape her. Holding on to the cloak, she waits until her husband returns, and she blames Potiphar for the problem. In verse 17 we read, "If you hadn't brought this slave home, none of this would have happened. Look what you have allowed to happen in your home." Do we, perhaps question two, do we blame others for our weaknesses, for our responding to temptation, when we're caught in a trap of our own making? Potiphar, on hearing the accusations against Joseph, becomes very angry, and Joseph is back in the pit once again. This time it's not a pit of earth, he's in a prison. Many people would have given up had they found themselves in the same situation. Not Joseph. He did in prison what he'd done at Potiphar's house, remained faithful in spite of everything life threw at him. He did his job there in prison, and he did it so well that he was soon running the place. For the jailer could see in Joseph, as did Potiphar, that he could be trusted to do the right thing and turn the day-to-day things over into his hands. How was this possible? He was in prison, so how could he be in control? Because the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, we read in verse 21. Joseph made the best of a terrible situation. He demonstrated a proper attitude in the midst of his trials, just as we should. The secret to happiness in hard times is how you respond to what is happening to you. 90% of living a joyful, fulfilled life is simply responding well to our trials. An example of this can be found in the great Baptist preacher John Bunyan. He was thrown into prison in the 17th century for preaching the gospel without a license. He spent 12 years in that jail because he would not promise the court that he would not preach if he were released. Now, he could have become discouraged by so long an imprisonment, but John Bunyan was a man of character and integrity, just like Joseph. When he was in jail, he had a stool that had three legs. He removed one of the legs and carved it into a flute, and he would use the flute to play gospel songs. While he was in jail, that he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, which is a story of the Christian life, the second largest selling book in history. Only the Bible has sold more copies. John Bunyan could have given up. Instead, he used his trials as a place to glorify God, and in his turn, God blessed him. And the Lord is still looking for men and women of faith, of character, and of integrity. In these chapters from Genesis, we see in Joseph's life, as in the life of Bunyan, they were faithful to the Lord, regardless of where they were. And regardless to where they were, the Lord was faithful to them. Joseph's challenge, Bunyan's challenge, was to turn their test into a testimony, their stumbling blocks into a stepping stone. And as we have read, that's what Joseph did and what John Bunyan did. The Bible has a lot to say about integrity, both the Old and the New Testaments. In Jesus, we have the perfect example of a man of integrity. After he was baptized, he went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and nights, during which time Satan came to him at his weakest to try to break his integrity and corrupt him. Jesus was holy man and holy God at the same time, and he was tempted in every way we are, yet he never sinned. We read in the letters of Paul and Peter words that we should cling to. For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the righteous. To live with integrity is to follow the example of Christ. And we can only live with true integrity by his power, which he graciously and freely gives to all who are his. God faithfully promises us the power to overcome, that we may be ever faithful to him. You know, there are some things worse than going to jail for doing the right thing. One of them is living in the prison of a guilty conscience. It's better to do right and sleep well than to toss and turn because we just couldn't say no. We hear this in my closing story. A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmhand asked for his qualifications, he said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." This puzzled the farmer, but he liked the young man and hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if all was secure. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace. The young man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife then inspected their property. They found that the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn was properly locked. Even the animals were calm. All was well. The farmer then understood the meaning of the young man's word, "I can sleep when the wind blows." Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. When the sun set each day on Joseph's life, he could rest easy because he had been faithful. When he was at home with his father Jacob, he'd been a faithful son. When he minded his father's flock, he had been a faithful worker. When he was sold to Potiphar, he proved to be a faithful servant. And because of this, the Lord blessed everything he did. In this passage, we see the faithfulness of Joseph very clearly. Faithful to God and to himself in the face of some problems that would cause many to fail. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to stay the course and run the race for his glory until he calls us home. In the areas in which Joseph was faithful to the Lord, God expects no more or less from you or me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the familiar story of Joseph. And we pray, Lord, that it has opened in our hearts some thoughts and things we need to consider. Are we loyal? Are we faithful? Are we a people of integrity? Father, you will find us weak and you will find us failing. So we ask that you pour out your blessing upon us and show us, guide us, Father, by your way, that we may become the people that you intended us to be. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mission Praise 702. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you assure us that through all the changing scenes of life, you are with us. Help us to recognize this in our daily lives, that empowered by your Spirit within, we would be equipped to serve you and others. So hear our prayer, Lord, as we bring before you all who are bearing heavy burdens, facing difficulties and problems to which they can see no solution. Those wrestling with inner fears and phobias for themselves or loved ones. Those who crave rest for their souls but fail to find it. Lord, speak to them in your still small voice and grant them the peace and quiet that only you can bring. God of comfort, draw very near to those who walk through the valley of tears. Encircle them in your loving arms that they may know that you are there, sharing their pain and moved by their sorrow. Minister to them the consolation that you alone can offer, granting them the assurance that those who mourn will be comforted and those who weep will share in a brighter tomorrow. Lord, we pray for those who find faith hard, who want to believe but can't get past their doubts, those whose faith is wavering, and for those who have lost their faith, the fire that once burned within them. Rekindle it in them, Lord, and in ourselves, the joy with which they started out, so that they once again may wake each day with hope in their heart and live each moment rejoicing in your love. Father, in a moment of quiet, we place into your hands those we hold dear in our hearts and in our congregation who are in a special need of the touch of Jesus in their lives. Lord, grant us your love and compassion for all in your world, where war and conflict cause hunger, pain, hopelessness, fear, and death. Open our eyes to their needs and our ears to their cries and our hearts that we may respond. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Your offering will now be received.
It's time again for us to pray for the future of our church, St. Andrew's, Lanbride and Urquhart. Again, it's a time when we must have patience, and no matter how difficult attracting a new minister to the church is and has become, given the number of vacant charges there are throughout Scotland, and in particular Moray, we must have faith that God will direct us to the right person in due course. I'd like to direct you to a short quotation from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. It goes, Jesus answered them, have faith in God. I assure you that whoever tells this hill to get up and throw itself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will happen. It will be done for him. For this reason I tell you, when you pray, ask for something. Believe that you've received it and you will be given what you ask for. The most important activity that we are able to engage in together is prayer. No matter where we are and what we'll be doing, for example, on Wednesdays at 1 p.m, we'd like you to and encourage you to take time out, if possible, for a time of silent prayer, asking God to guide us to the right candidate for the future of our church. So let us pray just now. Dear God, we come to you for guidance and support as we seek a new minister for our church. We pray that you will give us the patience that we need without being discouraged. We pray that our faith in you will remain strong. We pray that throughout the duration of our vacancy that you will keep us united as a family of Christians committed to your word. Thank you for our vacancy committee, who we pray will continue to guide in their search. Be with them and give them wisdom, the wisdom that they need. We ask your blessing upon all who provide us with spiritual guidance day by day and week by week, for Isabel and Alec, for Jean, who is with us here today, and Stuart, and all others who lead us in worship as we patiently wait. We thank you for your presence in our lives, and in the certain knowledge that you will guide the right person to us in the course of time. Amen.
Stand to sing our closing hymn, Mission Praise 200. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Lord, may we, in the words of the hymnist, Worship our Lord with all of our hearts. Give him our all and not just our part. Lift up our hands to the King of Kings and praise him in everything. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore.